with a grateful heart. Father, we give you thanks today. We give you thanks for your life poured out, for your Son Jesus, for your love and your goodness and your faithfulness, and your heart that's towards us, wanting us to know you more, wanting to embrace us, just wanting to draw us to yourself. We're so grateful tonight, Lord, that you are that God that we serve, and we praise you for it. Amen. Amen. What a trip back to yesteryear in so many ways. Take your seats. One way. All those songs we used to do with little interactions, and then we start singing all songs that I sung back when I was the same age as most of these kids here. Incredible. You know, just before the kids go out, they're not going out tonight. Well, that's all right. Well, that's good. We're all here, so I will make this simple and short and sweet. Maybe, I wonder if I could animate it in any way. Haven't practiced up, so we better not. But I want to talk to you about a guy named Saul. Now, which Saul in the Bible do you think I'm going to talk about? There's two Sauls, isn't there? There's one in the Old Testament, and there's one in the New Testament. And this guy, Saul, in the New Testament, tells his story in the book of Galatians. And one of the things that he says, I was so zealous. I was so sincerely devoted, in other words, to the traditions of our fathers, to the traditions of our nations. I excelled more than my fellow men in the Hebrew tribes. I was born of the tribe of Benjamin. I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I was of the tribe of Benjamin. I went through all the rituals. I did everything you're supposed to do. And I was number one. I mean, a lot of us want to be number one, don't we? A lot of us really do. But Saul was one of those guys. And when he got a bit older, he saw these Christians talking about Jesus and he got a bit mad. And he went, I'm going to put these Christians in jail because that's not what our fathers taught. That's not what they taught in our traditions back in the old lands of Israel and through all the journeys we've been through. We knew Jehovah, Yahweh God. We only followed the law and the commandments of Moses. We don't want to know about this Jesus. And so he went around and he got the Christians. We got a couple of Christians here. Here's a Christian. Come here. Come on. Here's another Christian. All right. And he got all these Christians and he took them away and he put them over in a corner and he locked them in jail. And he said, don't you escape from my jail. And he did that and he went and got more and more and more Christians. You okay in there, Joe, in jail? We'll give you some bread and water later, okay? You'll be fine. But, all right, let's go, guys. Come on, come back now. And anyway, he did that over and over. He did it over and over and over again. And then one day he got some of his soldiers together. Come here, I need two soldiers. All right, and we're going to Damascus, guys. All right? So when we go to Damascus, we're going to go right down there. We're going to get some more of these Christians. We're going to put them in jail, all right? So you follow me. Get on your horses and follow me. We're going to Damascus, all right? Here we go. All right, we're riding to Damascus. And all of a sudden, there's a light from heaven and Saul, gets knocked off his horse. And everyone's standing there looking at him. What has happened? And no one else could see what was going on, but there was a bright light from heaven. Thanks, guys. Sit down. And the bright light from heaven shone around, and Paul, he changed his name from Saul to Paul, so he's Paul now, right? Okay, I forgot to mention that bit. And he looked up and he saw this really bright light. He just knew it was God. And he's like, that's not the God I'm used to. I'm defending the God I'm used to. I'm trying to lock up these Christians for the God that I'm used to. And you know what the first thing he says, well, who are you, Lord? Who are you? All of a sudden, he realized he had an encounter with someone who was more powerful, greater, brighter, more explosively radiant than anything he'd ever thought about and knew about. And he said, And this bright light that was standing there in the form of Jesus just said, I am Jesus, the one that you are persecuting or chasing my people or putting them in jail. You're giving them a hard time. And right there and then, he came to a realization that everything that he knew about in his traditions didn't cover this particular guy. And so he said, what do you want me to do? And God, Jesus, in that bright light, gave him an instruction. He said, you go into town, there's a man named Ananias, and you're blind now because of the bright light. It knocked your sight out. You go in and see him. He's going to pray for you. You'll get your sight back, and he'll tell you what I want you to do. Wow. You know, he was pretty incredible the way that that happened. And all of a sudden, he gives his life to Jesus because he'd had an encounter with Jesus. I heard someone say this week that if you're not sure about Jesus, you spend 30 days and every day just tell him something that you'd like to share with him. I just want to know who you are. Or just 30 days, if we're diligent enough, at the end of 30 days, you'll find you'll hear God's voice. You'll hear him speak to you. You'll hear him impress a thought into your heart or into your mind, and you'll know it's him. I thought, wow, that's a pretty good, interesting exercise for people to do. Just if you've never heard God's voice, give it a 30-day trial. Talk to him every day for 30 days. You know, and I find God doesn't always talk to me instantly when I ask him about something, but it's not long before I'll get an answer in what I'm doing or whatever. So it's pretty amazing the way God talks to us, leads us, or shows himself to us. But Saul, when he got that way, he changed so much from being a man who got his soldiers and went and arrested the Christians and threw them in jail. He went from a guy who went away, a long way away, and he stayed there and he said, if this is real, I want to know this Jesus. And he tells us the story in the first chapter of Galatians. And he talks, and I covered this a couple of weeks ago, and it's positioning ourselves for what God's got for our lives, not what we've got for our lives. Positioned for power, I'm calling it. Positioned for God to be who he wants to be in and through us. So he went away and he spent time just talking to God. He knew the Old Testament better than most people. He could quote the first five books of the Bible. That's how good people were that really studied in that era. And even today, so many of them learn the Old Testament scriptures and they learn it verbatim back over in the land of Israel. Study that up, learn it, be able to quote it, amazing. And God revealed things to Paul that he hadn't revealed to anybody else. Even though Jesus was on the planet walking with 12 disciples for 3.5 years, Paul was more interested in what the transition was between the old and the new. We had some of the old songs today. Some people say they're corny. I love them. I heard a hymn this week. Oh, brought me to tears. Hadn't heard it for years and years and years. But it was so well sung by this girl on Jimmy Swaggart broadcast. She sang, there's a land that is fairer than day. And by faith we can see it afar, for the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. And then it goes, in the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. Oh, I can't sing it. But it just brought a love in my heart for God. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. And I listened to that being sung. I used to sing that as a kid too. You know, there's old songs that really had a message to them. Paul, when he was Saul, he had a message from an old era, but God transitioned it into a new era that made more sense of what he'd learned as a little boy. It made far more sense because every part of it had a picture that pointed to the Lord Jesus. And one day, while he's on his horse doing what he thought was right, and we all are like that sometimes, and we mightn't be on a horse, but we always think we're doing what's right. And it's not exactly perfect for what God wants. And then there's an encounter. There's a crossroad, if you want to talk about it that way. Or there's an intersection. And we meet and come face to face with the reality of Jesus. Then we've got a choice. Like Paul could have said, well, who are you? I don't know you. Get out of my face. I'm going to arrest a few more Christians. But no, the encounter was so strong. He had nothing else that he could do but take it further and then spend time getting to know this Jesus. Such an amazing, picture-perfect story. And in the Chelsea story in Galatians, how that he stayed away for about 3.5 years and he came back and he met up with James, the Lord's brother, and Peter, and he didn't see the rest of the apostles or anyone else in the church. He was unknown by face to even many of the Christians in the church, but they'd heard that he'd been converted. And they used to say things like, did you hear that guy Saul, who used to chase us and put us in jail and beat us and get us whipped, is now got converted? Oh, I don't believe that. He was such a mongrel. He was the harshest of the harsh. He was bad. He was a bad putty tat. You know, and it was very hard for them to believe that somebody could change. But Paul, as he became Paul, went away for another 14 years. That's 17 and a half years from the day he met Jesus till he finally came back into Jerusalem and joined the church there. And they welcomed him. And some of them were still a bit scared, thinking, oh, what's he going to do now? Is he going to, you know, turn on us or what? No. But he began to tell people of this amazing Jesus that he had an encounter with and bring what Jesus had shared with him to the church in that era. And most of the New Testament church today that are hearing God's voice, that are knowing God, that are walking according to the Word of God, based their Christianity on the teachings of Paul. Paul revealed Jesus in a way none of the others did. Paul brought out the fact of who God was and how he changes us and how he makes us like him and how we become new creatures in Christ and how our old lives pass away and our new lives and everything else around become changed and our thinking changes and our demeanor changes and everything about us transfers from old to new, just like Saul did, just like Saul to Paul. And I think it's an amazing story that we can remember that it doesn't matter. You know, he was a pretty bad guy, but Saul didn't realize how much God loved him even while he was doing things wrong. And God was channeling his life and getting ready to say one day, get off that horse. I want to talk to you. And that's what happened. God doesn't hold any of our past life and sins against us. We come to Jesus, doesn't matter what we think or do or how many times we've been disobedient, bad or whatever. He turns around and he says, the blood of Jesus declares you not guilty. You've come and you've had an encounter with Jesus. Some of you have heard this story, but I got to tell it again. Lexi and I were in a shopping center in Bacchus Marsh, just doing a bit of shopping, and we sat at the cafe, had a coffee, and there was a guy sitting across over on another table. I looked across and I had this immediate impulse. I got to go and talk to him. I said to Lex, I got to go and talk to that guy. Who is he? I don't know. I've never seen him before. I just got to talk to him. So I just went over there, introduced myself. Hi, my name's Ken. He goes, oh, do I know you? I says, no, you don't actually, but I saw you there on your own. I just thought I'd say hello. Oh, can I sit down?
Yeah.
Sit down. He tells me that he said, what do you do? And I told him and mentioned that I was a Christian and believed in God, and I felt God wanted me to talk to him. And he said, oh, I used to go to church once, but I could never go to church anymore. What after what I've done, God could never accept me. God would never, ever, ever be able to love me. And his voice was sort of shaky a bit because he didn't think God could love him. And I said to him, well, what did you do? He said, I was a navigator in the RAF over Germany during the Second World War. And he said, I was the best. He said, we hit targets right on the money. He said, we wanted to wipe a town out. They gave me a map and I wiped that town out. He said, we did a drama. He said, everything that I planned to do and go to and everywhere we went, I got there. And he said, I've been responsible for the lives of so many people. Just like Saul was putting people in jail, this guy said that he was responsible too. And I said, when you were in church, did you learn about the love of God? He said, not really. I said, you know, God's love is so intense that when he sent his son Jesus to die for us, it was to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, from all sin, from being independent of God. Even if we don't do anything bad, if we live our life and ignore God, that's independence. And the Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to go our own way, not God's way. I said, I could see him starting to get a tear in his eye. And I said, do you know something? If I pray now and you ask Jesus to come back into your life, you know what he's going to say over your life? I declare you not guilty. He started to cry. Not guilty. That guy then said, oh, have you ever seen the movie that airs nearly every Anzac time on the TV called The Navigator? Now, that's his life story. It was actually made into a movie. I've got it on DVD, believe it or not, even. And, it's just so amazing that this guy gave his life back to Jesus there and then. He said, oh, I come down every afternoon and I just have a coffee just to kill the time. I haven't got much else to do. I hadn't seen him again. I went back to that place a few times in the afternoon, see if he was there. Because he said he came every afternoon. I never saw him again. About a year later, was it? That lady came to church from Bacchus Marsh. We had a few from Bacchus Marsh. Yeah, Martina at the back there. Say hello to Martina when you can. She was on our Wednesday night cast for the first time on the Zoom meeting. But she's come across from Bacchus Marsh. Anyway, this woman dropped into church one day from Bacchus Marsh, and I just happened to mention this guy. What was his name? I've gone blank. Doesn't matter anyway. Anyway, I'm trying to think of it, and I'm on the tip of my tongue. But anyway, she said, I know him. Or she said, I knew him. I said, oh, what? She said, yeah, he was my next door neighbor. I told her that I'd met him at the shopping center. He'd told her the story. And she said, now I met him, was it August? It was late August when I met him in the shopping center. He went home to be with Jesus early September. Restored into a relationship because he had an encounter with Jesus. And in the sweet by and by, I'll meet him. Whew. Whew. On that beautiful shore, in a land that is fairer than day, that by grace I now see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare me and you a dwelling place there. And me and the navigator are going to get together and have another little chinwag.
Glory to God. How good's that? How good's that?
You know, we sung that song a little earlier, Grace on Top of Grace. Grace is God's favor that we don't deserve, don't have a merit for. We can't earn it. We can't buy it. We don't deserve it, but God says, here's my grace, my grace, my grace. And it doesn't matter what we've done or who we are, his grace just comes again and again and again and again. Your kids ever played that game? Grace on top of grace. You can never outgrace God, and you can never, ever lose favor with God, because it's his unmerited favor for our lives, because he wants us to know him. We've got to be the one that interacts when we have the encounter and says, Jesus, who are you? I realize I don't know you. What do I have to do? Just talk to him every day. Father, I thank you for the amazing love and grace you show us, that what you give us is so real, so personal. Lord, I thank you so much for, although you're an awesome, amazing, everlasting and ever faithful God, you still care about the little things in our lives, but you care more about us, because we're made in your image. You made us from the dust of the earth, formed us. Because of that, you called us out, your children. Sorry we went away. Sorry we got lost. Sorry we went our own way. But thank you that you brought us back to yourself and restored us into the family of God. Thank you for your eternal love and goodness. And I pray, Lord, that everyone in this room today would have an encounter with Jesus, would have a real encounter, and then spend time getting to know you intimately and personally, just the way you want to reveal yourself to us all. And I praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.